Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Some Republicans are urging President Biden to authorize direct strikes on Iran in response to the drone attack that killed three U.S. service members in Jordan. Washington Democrat Pramila Jayapal is against it.
This is exactly what some of those individuals in the Middle East want, is for the United States to respond so that we can be pulled into a wider war.
CBS's Deborah Patta has the latest on a UN aid group and allegations some members took part in the October 7th attack in Israel.
Well, the United Nations has said it's horrified by the allegations and has launched an internal investigation. It says any of its employees involved in acts of terror will be held accountable.
The U.S. and other countries have paused funding. Today, a House committee takes up a plan to impeach a Biden administration official. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Republicans argue the Homeland Security Secretary has been negligent as thousands of migrants crossed the border, including 4,000 on Sunday alone.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers today consider a constitutional amendment to ban ranked choice voting in Wisconsin. Critics are telling an assembly committee that voters find ranked choice voting confusing. Supporters say it gives more parties and candidates a better chance to win. Accurate voting information has been under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
A bill in the legislature would require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Cicadas are expected to resurface by the billions in the upper Midwest this spring. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Experts say Wisconsin is a part of that, and it's been a while since they've been above ground. These periodical cicadas pop out every 17 years, and the last time we had this was back in 2007. The director for the Insect Diagnostic Lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison says, for us in Wisconsin, they're going to be restricted to far southern portions of the state. These insects differ from the ones that are commonly seen in the summer months, known as the dog day cicadas. Those are green and black, while periodical cicadas are black and orange. It's not conclusive to know whether the periodical cicadas are impacted by changing climates, since they make their homes in the ground for such long periods of time. They're not expected to be out in full force until mid to late May or early June.
Cicadas are mostly harmless, but they are loud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks fall in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lose 113-107 in Denver. 25 points and a triple-double for the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. But new head coach Doc Rivers says the Bucks made him work for it as they try to improve their defense.
When he takes 25 shots, it means a couple things. Number one, he couldn't find guys the way he wanted to. And then number two, that means he had to force a lot of tough shots. That's what our defense has to be.
Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's the second time this season and the 23rd time in his career. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Reese Hoskins, spoke to reporters about leaving the Phillies in free agency and why he thought the Brewers might offer him a contract.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. I've talked to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past. It just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's Brewers' first baseman, Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A little light freezing drizzle, maybe a few flurries this morning, and then mostly cloudy all day. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing down to 26. Tomorrow will be better if you like the sunshine. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you are having a good one out there. Didn't mean to throw anybody if the intro music was a little different.
Mm-hmm. You caught it real quick.
It shouldn't have happened. I keep making... It's one of those mornings, if I'm being honest, I'm dealing with a kidney stone.
Oh,
And it was working its way last night, and it's still doing its thing. And so I'm just trying to work around it and do my darn job.
And
plenty of people know what I'm talking about out there. So, let's have some fun. Let's enjoy ourselves this morning and get into a little entertainment news to kick things off. Before we do that, though, that's coming up in a second, but a little bit later, we're going to negotiate with some aliens, see how many of us will be good at it.
Okay.
And the top daily decisions we struggle with. Those things coming up for you, along with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, plenty more coming up for you. We'll get into our schedule as well. All that coming up. Interested in making the We Are the World. Do you remember that, Melissa?
The song. Mm-hmm.
The song We Are the World. It was a huge organizational thing and
everybody
stuff.
Everybody came together.
Yeah. Well, now you can watch a documentary about it, The Greatest Night in Pop, on Netflix right now.
Oh,
and
okay.
Here are 10 facts about the night to act as an appetizer, if you will, for that. I do think I'm going to watch this. I do think I'm going to. I was so young when it happened. I mean, I remember it, but I don't feel like I knew about it. You know what I mean?
Want to watch it for the hairstyles only.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, that's so good. Harry Belafonte started it all. At least it was his idea to do something about hunger in Africa. But they did base it on the Band Aid charity signal, Do They Know It's Christmas, from the UK, which came out first.
Hmm.
But this is something that Harry Belafonte, not only that guy, but the guy who was one of those, one of the bigger people when it came to things to fight for, using his status and to do something about it when he saw injustices or when he saw things like this, you know. Mm-hmm. The hunger situation in Africa was huge in the 80s as far as that topic.
Okay.
Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie avoided any dated expressions when they wrote the song. You know, things like "Right On" or "You Dig" or something like that. They wanted to make sure the lyrics were timeless.
Okay.
I think it's really cool and speaks to the amazing songwriters those two were, and all of these artists were. When you have that perspective, you think of something like that.
Yeah, that this song can go on forever.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It was recorded after the 1985 American Music Awards. That's how they got so many huge stars together at once.
Because they're all there already.
Okay. All right. That's the kind of stuff I'd always wondered. Like, how did you work that out schedule-wise with all those people? Well, there you go.
Yeah. 45 vocalists.
Huh. Wow. I didn't realize it was 45, huh?
Yeah.
Prince was supposed to be there, but he no-showed. People seem to think it was because of his rivalry with Michael Jackson. Also, it just didn't fit his brand. I've never heard Prince say anything about this, but his rivalry with Michael Jackson by this point was almost at its peak. Mm. And I could see that. I could see why some people think that. But all you got to do is do a little digging and see that Prince was a big, was very into philanthropy and helping out hunger, helping out a lot of those kind of situations. So it's hard for me to imagine that he would let that keep him from helping kids eat. I don't see, that's not the Prince that I've read. That's not the one that I've seen in interviews and everything. That feels more like a projecting thing. Oh, we don't have the real answer, so we're just going to chalk it up to, you know, a simple little rivalry or something that would look good on the New York Post or something like that. Yeah. Like, there's no reporting on this. They're just throwing that out there. They're just saying that it was this. And that's not journalism. That's not actual reporting.
Speculation.
I'd like to know what was there's rumors he was at a Mexican restaurant when it all went down. I'd like to know why. I'd like to know what he was doing, what that was.
He was hungry.
Yeah, tacos. There you go. None deeper than that. I was hungry. I was hungry. That was it. That was all he wanted. But Madonna, another big name that wasn't there. Madonna was not invited. Apparently, some of the organizers felt she wasn't a good enough singer. They went with Cyndi Lauper instead. And sources say it broke her heart.
Wow.
I disagree with that. I think Madonna is a way better than average singer. I think you listen to Take a Bow and you'll hear that. I think there's a lot of songs of hers that do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that Madonna of the early 80s was a bit controversial and you know, a little had some of that going on with her career at the time. Mm-hmm.
They had Dan Aykroyd there, for God's sake, and I love Dan Aykroyd, but Dan Aykroyd,
not known for his singing.
No. if this is really about trying to raise money and awareness for kids in Africa at the time and all that, mm-hmm. why would you not have arguably the biggest pop star in the world, the only person who can really compete with Michael and Prince? Madonna. Mm-hmm. Why would you not have her there? I don't care if she voiced tracked everything. Like, it, just having her presence there, having her name attached to this would have been huge. How much bigger could it have been?
Right.
Speaking of Dan Aykroyd, Dan Aykroyd took part by accident. He just happened to be talking to a talent manager that day, and the guy invited him to the recording session. So think of that in comparison.
The people who got left out and then the ones who were there kind of by accident.
Yeah. Bob Dylan almost had a nervous breakdown. He got all stressed out trying to figure out how to sing his part when all they wanted was for him to sound like Bob Dylan. Like, that's it. Which, you know.
Sound like yourself.
Yeah. And you don't really get a ton of lyrics from Bob all the time, you know, so. Eddie Murphy missed his chance to be there. Eddie was at Stevie Wonder's studio recording his single Party All the Time. It's one of the funniest pop songs of all time. That is a hilarious song. Stevie asked him to come over, but he declined. When he realized what he had passed up, he felt like an idiot. And he has been very honest about this. He's talked about it quite a bit. He didn't quite understand what Stevie Wonder was talking about. And he was very focused on, you know, this album and this being big. Eddie knew, like, he had seen Bruce Willis and other artists do things like this and try to come out with songs and fail. And he did. It was so important to him, not only that it was successful, but the people liked it. It wasn't about for him selling records. He just wanted to make a song people danced to and they really liked. That's why he brought Rick James on to help with the production. He's got Stevie Wonder there helping him. He's in Stevie's studio to record this. And then what you get is Party All the Time, Party All the Time. It's just bad. It's a bad. The video is even more hilarious because it's supposed to be like a happy, like, fun song or whatever. And they're all serious in the studio, like, yeah, I got to get this right. All right. Party All the Time. No, another take. It's not perfect. It's funny. This is a funny video. Not everyone liked the song. Billy Joel claims they all hated it, but nobody was willing to say so. Yikes. And most importantly, We Are the World was a huge success. It spent 4 weeks at number one, went quadruple platinum within a month, went on to sell 7 million copies, and most importantly, helped raise $63 million for this cause.
Yeah.
I don't make light of anything, especially that $63 million that they didn't have, that $63 million that helped out a countless amount of hunger people struggling with hunger in Africa. All that being said, that seems low to me when you put that many stars in one room. And if you throw away the egos, especially of the 80s, the 80s egos and everything, I'd love to see a modern version of this done, quote unquote, right. I don't want to say what they did was wrong, but there's obviously there's a lot of left on the playing field there. There's a lot of meat on the bone they left there.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
It should be. It's a very interesting, the whole story is interesting. Mm. And the fact that some people never even heard the song until they showed up for the recording.
Yeah. Merle Haggard was supposed to be in, and he was there. He was in. He was going to sing along and everything. And then Stevie Wonder wanted to include a Swahili song, and he said, I'm out. He didn't want to be, he didn't think that, I think the quote was, let me make sure I get this right. I want to make sure that I get this right. Cause it was just in our day and country, news. And, it was one of those things that we weren't able to get to, just ran out of time, but I did think it was interesting. And here it is. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Waylon Jennings. I apologize. Waylon Jennings was there and apparently the vibe wasn't good until Michael Jackson suggested everyone sing it. The vibe was good, but then Michael Jackson suggested that everyone sing a gibberish part that some thought was mocking African dialect. And that caused an argument, and a bunch of fighting was going on. And then Stevie Wonder thought he found a good solution by suggesting they all sing a Swahili phrase. And that was when Waylon said, he's out. Quote, no good old boy sings in Swahili. And that has not aged well.
And I
imagine that there are plenty of in fact, I don't know if country fans out there are going to like this or not, but your music comes from that. like Swahili and African dialect and African beats and noises and everything. That's where the majority of music comes from, like, period. Just like human beings, most of us, you know, not most of us, the origin of humanity is Africa. Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I think that in this documentary is going to be one of the more interesting documentaries that any of us are going to see if you experience this, if you live through this. The Greatest Night in Pop is on Netflix coming up tomorrow, I believe.
Cool.
And if that doesn't seem interesting to you, maybe some of this will. New on TV tonight, Name That Tune at 7 on Fox. Quantum Leap returns at 9 on NBC. The first season finale of Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus, that is on there.
Great books.
Yeah, my sister really loved those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't interest you, okay. Well, wait a minute. Well, what about podcasts? Huh? Yeah. Checked out a good podcast lately. Looking for one? Well, I just happen to have one right in front of me right now.
Do you? In your back pocket?
Yeah. Let me see if I get this right. What the Muppet? Okay. What the Muppet? All right. Sounds cool. So it's about these two Muppet heads that dive deep into an imaginative world where they pull out a different Muppet randomly every time, and they put them in funny different situations. It sounds really cool.
That does sound interesting.
Well, and they just look like some very creative, beautiful people, right? No. I will stop. I am so sorry. What the Muppet, wherever you get your podcast, check it out. Bree and I had another episode drop yesterday, the Double Dip Scandal.
Double dip scandal.
Yeah, so we do this where we have the five hats in front of us and we take turns. She'll grab one, then I grab one. And we get talking, you know, and get rambling like you and I do, Melissa, sometimes. And I get sidetracked and I wasn't thinking. And I think the double dip scandal is actually my fault. I'm pretty sure. I think I grabbed twice.
I'd blame you.
Yeah, it's probably a good call. Wherever you get your podcasts, check out What the Muppet. And if you're into the video of it, Bree does a great job recording and editing all of this. Type into your search bar on YouTube, What the Muppet. Type into there, What the Muppet, and subscribe and follow along. We've got a great Patreon page up right now. And while it is, we don't make light of anybody spending money on these things. It's $5, and my God, do you get your money's worth. Bria takes a lot of heart into this and puts a lot of time in doing some extra videos and extra footage for our Patreon fans out there. So be sure to check that out, everybody. And a shout out to Bri. Great work, as always. She's amazing at this stuff.
Nice.
We will take a time out. We will come back, and we're going to talk aliens when we come back.
Yes.
We're negotiating.
Aliens.
When we come back on the Morning Show here at WFHS. I like the way you say aliens. We'll be back with more on the Morning Show at WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. That is so gross! What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air's not fresh anymore. Well, before old Frosty gets renamed Old Stinky for fouling up the neighborhood, you better call Crockett Septic. From Rome to Rudolph, Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point Clover, Crockett Septic can handle your septic, holding tank, and porta-potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 715-712-3456. Kraken Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie, because nobody wants to smell the other stuff.
A little light freezing drizzle, maybe a few flurries this morning, and then mostly cloudy all day. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing down to 26. Tomorrow will be better if you like the sunshine. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Little Fab Four to play us in.
Mm-hmm.
I think if aliens were to land on the planet and we've got to ask somebody to go talk to them, I like the idea of sending Ringo. Ringo from okay. the Beatles. Yeah, I think he'd do a pretty good job. What could go wrong?
Sure.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
If aliens showed up tomorrow, they were not overly friendly, and they were not overly friendly about it, who would you want to be the point person in charge of talking with them and working this out and creating a peaceful treaty?
Dolly Parton.
I mean, I feel like we've already got this. We can move on, everybody. I feel like we've got this. Nicely done. Hang on a second.
I mean, we don't have Betty White anymore, so.
Right. That would have been a good option.
That would have been first choice.
But, yes, Dolly Parton, let me double check here. Yep, that's a winner. That is a winner right there. Nicely done, Melissa. Okay, so we can move on. In a new poll, 43% say that they would be cool with our current world leaders representing Earth. 43% is actually pretty high. I think that's pretty high. It's not too bad. Yeah, very much considering. Yeah. They didn't
especially considering world leaders.
Yeah. They didn't specify who that would be. So maybe the options are President Biden or Z over in China, Vladimir Putin, Emmanuel Macron, King Charles, Taylor Swift. I don't know. I don't know what they're considering. As world leaders. I'm not sure. So what would you do? Who would you want representing? Or how would you handle this if it was you? In a new poll, 42% of Americans say yes, they believe they would be able to negotiate peace with aliens. So just a percentage lower than the amount of us that think that our world leaders could negotiate peace. So we're actually, according to this study, a little more confident in world leaders being able to do this than ourselves being able to do it.
That's impressive and maybe a little egotistical.
I thought if you would have asked me in a new poll how many percentage of people think that our world leaders could negotiate peace with aliens, I'd go in the 20s. I would think with the confidence that that we seem to have media-wise in our politicians. This just goes to show you why you need to do homework and you need to do digging. And you can't just take the answers that are given to you. Do some hunting. Work. Find those answers. It doesn't take a lot. Shouldn't take a lot of digging. And oftentimes when it does, that tells you something right there. The tinfoil hat crowd is waiting for you. It's right over there with that digging and all that. Like you want something, you got to work for it most times.
Mm-hmm.
37% of people say that they believe aliens are already here, while 41% do not think that there are aliens among us. And the other 22% just don't know. overall, 53% of people think that that aliens do exist somewhere, while 34% of people don't believe in extraterrestrial life.
Okay.
So what is more egotistical, Melissa? The idea that you think that you could negotiate peace with aliens, or the idea that we're the only living, breathing thing in existence in the entire universe? That's a tough one.
I don't know, James. That is a tough one.
That's a tough one right there. I don't even know how to answer that. And I asked a question. I'll tell you this. If nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it.
You know, I mean, if we're sitting there, the aliens are waiting, they're looking at their watch, like, come on, somebody come over and negotiate it.
Somebody come to the table for this?
If nobody else is going to do it, I watched the Day the Earth Stood Still. I feel like I can wing this. I can wing it. I can figure it out. You know, the thing that is interesting to me when we talk about these things is how, for one, the what ifs and the what ifism and all that stuff and everything is just kind of like almost drives you crazy. But it's the realistic approach we take to these things.
Yeah.
While also the other side of things of people not even believing it's real or thinking it's far-fetched. What I think is far-fetched is to think that we're the only living, breathing thing in the universe. I'm not saying that there are little green aliens. I'm not saying that there's even, you know, life as in the form of we know it.
Life, yeah.
Yeah, you know, bopping around, walking around with limbs and everything. life.
Having economies.
Right, yeah. Look at what they discovered in Mars some years back and everything. The trickle of water or what have you. That the representation of what could be life. Things like right. that. That's what I think of. Now, if you are talking about the little green men and everything, them coming down and stuff. First off, there is no way in the universe that that's what aliens look like. And you know why I'm confident in that? Because we guessed that. We
came up with it.
It comes from no intelligence. It comes from it's an old kind of like image that we've been using since the dawn of putting aliens on screen and in TV and movies and all that and everything. Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously what we would automatically think, because that's what we have fed ourselves.
Yeah. I don't think I've never heard anybody like try to give any like realistic look of an alien, like what it would look like. There's all these factors that it would take, and factors that we can't know. Look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Human beings are built a certain way because of the planet we live on.
Right. And that's the thing, that our environment has crafted the way that we look.
Yeah.
Who knows what environments are like on other planets?
Right.
Because we haven't visited them. Mm-hmm. And if you read sci-fi books, yes, the movies and all of that has a visual as well. But there's so many more in sci-fi books as well of interpretations of what aliens could look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic. I think it's kind of fascinating and everything. But I also don't know what to do with it, to be honest with you, either. Like, I'm very Switzerland about this. I'm very on the down the middle of. Now, I do believe that there is life out there. I do believe. But what it is, how specific it is, I don't know any of that. And I don't pretend to. What I think is really interesting is the idea of this happens. And well, how are we going to talk to them? It's pretty unlikely that they speak English or you know, Spanish
or any of the languages on the world.
Yeah, yeah. I love too how every time we envision these scenarios, they land in America. Like every time, the odds.
We're not actually the biggest landmass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's almost unlikely that
probably
they would land here.
Land in Asia.
Yeah, yeah. wherever you know they're coming from. Like if they're coming from a cold climate, they're probably going to want to land
North or South Pole.
Right. Yeah. So
someone that's similar to the supporting life that they know.
And all of this is just, you know, kind of fun jargon, like talk.
Speculation.
I mean, the thing that the catch, I think, to me is when people take this a little too seriously or they get a little angry about these kind of things. Like that part, like, oh, what do you get angry about? You know, nobody's using any facts here. It's just a kind of interesting topic. It's just kind of for fun, if anything. I don't believe, however you answer this, all of a sudden tomorrow aliens land and President Biden's going to be like, hey, so I heard you on the radio the other day and you were saying that you're really cool.
So James, I'm going to need you to show up at the White House tomorrow because the delegation from Planet Zeppelin is here and you need to speak with them.
I don't know how that meeting's going to go, but I can tell you how it's going to end with me coming to the rest of all of you and saying, look, we had a good run. I did my best.
Kiss your loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see how this plays out, everybody. But trips to the moon on me. Trips to the moon on me. My bad. So sorry. Let's go to the moon. We are going to go to break. We will come back and have some more fun on the morning show. I can't believe that that's the amount of time we spent on that. That was awesome. More coming up with Melissa and James on the morning show at WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. A new study finds black youth encounter at least 5 racist posts on social media every day. Dr. Raquel Martin is a clinical psychologist. She says apps that cater to teenagers should do more to block that kind of content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times, the things they care about are losing money.
The study says black teens exposed to racist posts internalize the content as threats, leading to stress and suicidal thoughts. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Mid-State Technical College will host its 2024 Program Showcase Career Exploration event on March 12th at the Wisconsin Rapids campus. This biannual event is for high schoolers in 9th and 10th grades. These students will be able to meet with current Mid-State students, high school and program faculty, explore campus labs, and experience the hands-on learning that Mid-State offers. There are limited spots available for the morning and afternoon sessions on March 12th. You can find out more information and register at mstc.edu. The 10th Southwood County Empty Bowls event will be Saturday, February 17th. This will be the third year that Focus will host the event. It will be held at their new location, 2321 West Grand Avenue. 11 local restaurants are participating. There will be a great selection of soups from 11 to 2, as well as basket raffles. Proceeds from the event will help with food insecurities in our area. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks fall in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lose 113-107 in Denver. 25 points and a triple-double for the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. But new head coach Doc Rivers says the Bucks made him work for it as they try to improve their defense.
When he takes 25 shots, it means a couple things. Number one, he couldn't find guys the way he wanted to. And then number two, that means he had to force a lot of tough shots. That's what our defense has to be.
Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's the second time this season and the 23rd time in his career. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, spoke to reporters about leaving the Phillies in free agency and why he thought the Brewers might offer him a contract.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. I've talked to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past. It just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's Brewers' first baseman, Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
A little light freezing drizzle, maybe a few flurries this morning, and then mostly cloudy all day. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing down to 26. Tomorrow will be better if you like the sunshine. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Some decisions are big and require time and consideration. Homework being done, doing your, you know, crossing your I's and dotting your T's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I was trying to have some fun with that there, but yeah. Research, yes, yes, yes. Others aren't that big, but we struggle with them anyway. A new poll looked at the top everyday decisions we struggle with, and here are the top 10.
Okay.
And it does look like these are kind of in order, so we'll start at one and kind of work our way down here through this.
Sounds good.
Number one, what to eat. 44% of us have trouble deciding on any given day.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
I would like to add on a 1A to 1B of that, remembering to eat. that is a difficult one for me. I just don't seem to remember all the time.
Okay.
What to watch on TV? 40% struggle with that one.
Yeah, and then there's some of us who just don't have it. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to struggle then.
The decision is taken out of your hands. You don't even got to worry about it.
And it's just, which book do I read? Oh, wait, the one I'm reading.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. decisions related to a hobby you have, 39%. So say maybe you love to read, but you're not sure. You got so many books you want to read, and you're not sure which one to start with.
Yeah, when you get to the end of one, or if you're painting something and which color scheme to go with, which knitted project I want to start next. I mean, there's a lot of decisions when it comes to your hobbies that you have to make, especially midstream.
Yeah. Here's a big one, I think, for a lot of people. What to wear? 37% struggle with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep. If you have clothes in your wardrobe, it's a struggle.
Yeah. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. We want to know if you agree with this list, if there's some on here that you deal with more than some of the other ones, or if there are things that you struggle with that you think should be on this list that are not. As we get to the halfway point from what to wear, we go to what to buy at the store. 36% struggle with that.
What to buy at the store? Are we talking like groceries?
Yeah, I don't know. That's all it says is what to buy at the store. I don't
know.
This
money is burning a hole in my pocket and I got to spend it. What do I spend it on?
See, this seems like...
That doesn't happen.
Forgive me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, everybody. It's real easy to do it. Just call up 715-424-2600. But that feels like a rich person problem. Like, I don't believe I've ever gone to the store without an idea of why I'm going to the store to buy, you know, this item I need
unless
or whatever.
Unless you're like, you know, a kid. Unless you're 10 and you got $50 for your birthday and you can buy something, you know, then that struggle is real.
Yes.
Because you can only spend it on probably one thing, or you go to the candy store and you spend it on a lot of different kinds.
That was me. I wanted more bang for my buck. You could give me the $50 toy or, $50
pieces of candy. Woo. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm walking. You would see me with 50 pieces of candy right there. That's what I think. But I guess maybe that could mean a number of things. We'll move on. Your morning routine. What order to do stuff in? 32% struggle with that.
Really?
I guess. I've been doing this for so long, this routine of mine. I noticed that even whether it's a day off or it's a day that I'm running late, I still do the same routine. I don't even think about it. I just kind of go go right into the motion of things. And before I know it, I'm filling my coffee cup. And I'm like, oh, geez, how did I even get here? half the time, I feel like I'm just
running on autopilot.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that maybe this happens to me on the weekends.
Oh,
where you have a relaxed morning, you don't have anywhere to be, so you can just, like, leisurely go through your morning routine.
Yeah.
And those days are the best.
They really are. Do you find yourself ever, though, and I've gotten much better about this, but it used to be, it was so rare for me to have a day off or a morning I could sleep in that I would get to it and then I'd freak out, like, I got to do this, this, and this. I got to get all these things done.
Anxiety sets in?
Yeah, the relaxing morning turns into a silly morning because of my knucklehead brain and everything.
I think that I've gotten better about that over the years because for my own mental well-being, I've had to.
Right.
Because trying to have too many things on my plate at once, I've realized it's not good for my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to create lists, and I try to just function with, okay, well, when I have this thing done, I can move on to the next thing. And I'm not going to worry about the rest because I can't do anything about it.
It's a good way to a good approach. And I know that a similar approach has worked for me getting a little better about this stuff. I got room to grow and I got to work
keep
at it.
Keep working on it. You'll get there, James.
Here's a good one, I think. Whether spending money on something is worth it. 31% of people struggle with that one on a more of a regular basis. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, especially for those of us who have a very limited budget is purchasing this thing going to be worth not having the money?
What do you do when you need a new battery for your car, but you also need a new washer? You know,
right.
I mean, making these decisions and figuring these things out. It's something that not only do a lot of people struggle with. We've got the stats from Alice that the United Way put out. We've got other stats and bits of information to show the majority of us have this in common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't forget this, especially this year as you are researching and learning about politicians, as you are doing your homework, hopefully, before you get into that booth. Don't forget, you have more in common with the people standing next to you in that booth than you do a lot of the people that you're voting for.
Running for office.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, and look at the jobs that they're doing while in office. What are they accomplishing while they've been there so far if they're people who are repeat running?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what have they worked towards for you to make your life better?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the important things to consider. Another aspect of this in my mind, James, is maybe it's not a, you know, do or die, but like this or this, we need both. Maybe it's I could spend $20 on a pair of shoes that are going to last me maybe 6 months, or I could spend $100 on a pair of shoes. They're going to maybe last me 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the better investment? And can I do without that money right now versus not having to make this purchase again?
Right. How to organize your day. 25% struggle with that one. Yeah. Yeah, I could see, especially if you got a busy day, you got a lot going on, and trying to figure it out. But I also think that some of this stuff like tells you how to do it. Time, everything, most things are time sensitive.
Time management.
Yeah, that's another one, though.
It can be something that you have to learn, though, especially maybe if you started a new job and you are a little more freeform, like things are not regimented. You know, you're not working at a fast food restaurant where you have to do this and this and this. Maybe it's you have to accomplish these 10 things in the day, but it's up to you to figure out how.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a bit of a challenge.
Personal hygiene comes in at number 9. 18% of people struggle with that. Like, do you have time to take a shower? Things like, so it's not so much like, do you need a shower as much as, do I have time to? Fitting this into your busy morning or your routine, your busy day. Make the time. Make the time.
For the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
Make the time.
Yeah, figure it out. Shoehorn it in there somewhere or something like that. I value everybody's time. I make light of none of this, but please make the time.
Agreed.
It reminds me of one of my papa's favorite go-to jokes. I'd tell him, Pop, I'm jumping in the shower. Don't jump. Pop, I'm getting in the shower. Thank you. He loved responding with that. Thank you. We all appreciate it.
Yes.
Number 10, social related decisions. 18% of people struggle with that one. Like, do you really want to grab a drink with that friend or just keep flipping through possible shows to watch? You know, figuring out whether to go out or not. A lot of people, especially younger people, really struggle with this one. This is a big anxiety thing for a lot, at least from what the people that I know and that I've run into and they express.
Well, and I think part of this is a little bit of the aftermath of what people are going through from the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because we had such a long period of time where being out in a crowd was considered impactful on your health in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever your belief was during that time. It's honestly still just a little bit weird to me to be in a packed store.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I live in, you know, living in a small town, my stores here are not very busy, but like going to Eau Claire or going to the cities and being in a place where there's hundreds of other people is still just a little bit weird.
Yeah, I've never been a germaphobe or anything like along those lines. And when the pandemic happened, it kind of like I felt a little of that and I got a little of that.
Yeah, you got super conscious of it.
And it's weird because so much of it has like, for me, I don't worry as much about me getting it. I worry about giving it to other people. I worry about hurting somebody else because of my actions.
Yes.
Especially like, you know, being blunt about it, my dad who barely survived the last run he had of COVID.
It brings it very close to home.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
And I'm also just never been big on crowds.
Yeah.
My entire life. And I'm not a crowd person. I don't want to go to big concerts because I don't like being in a press of people.
See, this is, and I completely get that. I respect it. It's weird, just for me personally, I've never been that guy. I like being in crowds. I actually feel more comfortable in bigger settings than I do on a one-on-one situation. But it feels like in the last 4 or 5 years, whether it's because of the pandemic or it just is the way I evolved or whatever, I've become a little more opposite of that than I used to be. And I don't know why necessarily, other than some of the things we've touched on there.
Yeah, or life experience.
Yeah. The poll also looked at the top big decisions we take our time with, and the top five were buying a house, getting married or divorced, having kids, changing jobs, and moving.
Those are all really good ones to take your time about.
Yeah, definitely. 27% regret a big decision they made when they were young. 27%.
100%.
Get out of here with that. 27%. Miss me with that.
Well, if you're just talking about those five things you
I suppose,
did.
Yeah. Then it might be 27. But other, if we're just talking regretting a decision, 100%.
I really regret dating that guy for 3 weeks.
I mean, we've
the
all.
Worst decision I ever made. Yeah,
there is nobody who doesn't have a regret for you. Yeah. 27% also regret a decision about their career. 23% regret something about their significant other. And 22% regret certain parenting decisions they have made.
Interesting.
But there's relatability there. There's, you know, the next time you're thinking of critiquing somebody else or critiquing another parent or something like that, keep these stats in mind. You know what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You know, I'm not going to, because somebody could do it right back at you.
Yeah. And it's never a bad idea when you're, you know, dithering about these decisions to talk to somebody, talk to a friend, talk to a parent, talk to an aunt or uncle or brother or sister, somebody that can understand the circumstances you're in life and maybe give you some advice, which you may or may not take.
Yeah. Talk and listen. Listen to each other and talk, not be grade, not talk down to or anything.
Yeah.
It's important. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. We got a That Ain't Right story and some good stuff to go into for locally, all coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
To everyone who wants a meal made just for you, let our team member Arish share what makes Culver's special.
We know the best meals are the ones shared with the people you love, like our cook-to-order butter burgers and our real Wisconsin cheese curds. And there's no better way to treat yourself than our creamy, fresh, frozen custard. I put the same care into your meal that I would for my own family.
Come to Culver's for a meal made the Wisconsin way.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
You talk.
Hi,
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents, kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
A little light freezing drizzle, maybe a few flurries this morning, and then mostly cloudy all day. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing down to 26. Tomorrow will be better if you like the sunshine. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35. Penny Lane, there is a bar,
showing photographs. Got to change it up a little bit. There we go. Just don't have them labeled yet, so I keep hitting the same ones. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. Believe it or not, we're here at the end of the show already. Our final segment. It went by fast. That's all. It just went by fast. I honestly, just coming out of the break.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, the last break, I was like, wow, believe it or not. I mean, man, we're already done. It was a reach. That was a reach. Let's be honest. That was a reach. Right. I couldn't help myself, though. I want to get into some good stories of the day. But before that, we, of course, have to touch on the That Ain't Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have a doozy here for you, although I don't really have much of a problem with this stuff, too, within reason. So I wonder, there's a lady in California named Macy Davies Sutherland, and she just broke the world record for longest arm hair on a woman.
Oh.
Now, we're talking not so much a Robin Williams type sleeve of hair so much. It's just one hair on her right arm that refuses to stop growing. And it clocked in last month at 7.24 inches long.
Whoa, yikes. 7.25 inches long?
That's kind of crazy.
That's
long. Yeah. It not only kind of crazy, it's got to drive you, like her crazy. Like
right.
No matter what
why
she
would
does.
She let it grow. Like I have a longer, you know, a hair that grows out of a mole. Mm. It's closer to my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But I always cut it because it drives me nuts.
I had one that was showing up on my shoulder. Like it hasn't been there in years, but it would just like out of nowhere. I'm getting out of the shower and I look like there's a hair pop. Like what did that?
What's
know?
On me?
Get
is
away!
Spider?
Get out of there! Go away! You're like I don't know. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
It is a weird
so
feeling.
So the dedication to let it grow.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think she deserves that record.
She discovered it at 12 years. She discovered it 12 years ago as a junior in high school. So she's in her late 20s. She says the hair has accidentally been plucked a few times, so she really had to stick with it to break the record.
Yeah.
Her doctor measured it last year at only 5.5 inches, which would have been a good enough for the record, but she decided to wait a few months because she was going all in.
Just let it keep growing.
And she's hoping nobody breaks the record. She really wants to keep this.
And if you're 12 years in...
Mm. Yeah, right, yeah. The record for men is even longer. Back in 2017, a guy named David Reed, also from California, had an arm hair that was 8.54 inches long.
Whoa.
He said it came he came forward to, quote, impress the ladies.
Look at my long arm hair.
Yes, like, yes.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
I want me some of that.
We all know, when it comes to what the ladies are really looking for, it's not security, it's not honesty or trust or any of these things.
Long arm hair.
Long arm hair. That's what it all comes down to. Oh, boy. Macy plans to keep letting hers grow and hopes to eventually beat David's overall record. She says she likes to embrace being different.
Okay. And it's got to be somewhere on her arm. Does it say where on her arm it's located?
No, there is a video, and I did not have time to really look at it. Oh, it looks like it's right above her elbow. Right above her elbow on her, I think her left arm. Her right arm, I want to say.
Okay, like on the outside of her arm?
Yeah.
That's a weird place to grow long hair, though.
It really is. And boy, it is a really long hair, too. Like, she's blonde and she's pale, so it's a little harder to even see it. So there's that part, too. I think
there's that part, too.
Okay. Might help out and might play into, being able to let it go.
But can you imagine? She probably gets it, stuck at doors and stuff.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. But all that being said, kudos to this lady. Kudos to this young woman. In this day and age, I know how hard it is just being a guy and caring and not even caring about this stuff that much and still worrying about image and mm-hmm. public perception and some of those things. As an actor, mm-hmm. I know what some of that stuff is. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around or understand what it's like to be a young person, let alone a young woman in this day and age and worrying about mm-hmm. appearances and all that. There's cameras everywhere, all this stuff. Yep. To embrace this stuff, to embrace being different, more power to you. Mm-hmm. That's not a that ain't right story. That's a good story of the day.
I think so, too, because it speaks to that emotional intelligence and knowing that your self-worth is not, based on what other people think of you.
Nicely
based
done.
On how you feel about yourself.
Nicely done, Melissa. Well played. Very well played right there. We got to look at some good stories of the day, and we've got some great stuff going on this afternoon sports-wise. Be sure to join us a little bit later today at 7:05 for the Wisconsin Hockey Hour here on WFHR. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one. And on our sister station, WIRI, at 7:05, join us as our pregame kicks off. Marshfield at Lincoln, boys basketball. Michael and Seth running this one for us.
All right.
The high school basketball season continues on for the boys and girls sides of things, and getting more and more intense and more interesting as we go along here. Looking forward to covering as many of these games of our local teams as we can.
Absolutely.
We've got
home of local sports.
Yeah. Thursday, we've got more high school basketball on the radio dial at 7:05. Athens at Assumption Girls. Randy and Seth covering that one. Randy telling me a lot about the Assumption Girls team that we've got a lot of high hopes for, but they've been dealing with some injuries. Hopefully, can not only get a little healthier, but get some more playing time for some of these other players. And maybe that'll help out a little bit.
Good on them.
Yeah. Tomorrow, right here at WFHR, Milwaukee Bucks basketball at Portland. I was talking to somebody, a listener the other day, a longtime listener who has listened to this station for a very long time, but they were out of town since December. And they came back and they heard Bucks basketball on WFHR and they thought they were listening to a different station.
Because it's been a while.
They've got all the presets on the radio and they're like, wait a minute. They're kind of thrown by this and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We got Bucks basketball right here for you, everybody. WFHR, home of Bucks basketball now. Join Giannis, Doc, and Dame and the gang for some great, great, great stuff. Join us for some great basketball here at WFHR tomorrow. 8:30, they will kick off, so a late start for that one.
All right.
They're playing in Portland. It's a West Coast game, so you're going to have some late start times for some of those.
There you go.
Wanted to touch on a couple of local good things, and one of them is Special Olympics having their Polar Plunge.
This weekend.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge going on this Saturday, February 3rd at 9:30 at Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. Go on, check it out. Going to have some live music, food and beverages, hot cocoa, merchandise, photo moments. Chili Bear going to be there. A lot of great stuff.
It won't even be that cold.
Yeah, it's not even going to be that bad of a... Yeah, this is a year to plunge, it would seem. This seems
Or you know what? Just a great time to attend.
Yeah.
It's going to be just a fun day to be outside.
Yeah, a big shout out to all the great people working on this one.
Yes.
Join them for this 9:30 to 11:30 registration and polar plunging will begin.
And I'm sure there's still time to submit a pledge to support a team out there.
Yes. Please look into that. You can find out more about those about that and other information at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. Also, you can go to their Facebook page, Special Olympics Wisconsin. Be sure to check that out as well. Those are all great ways to be a part of Special Olympics. Join the Buckley Baldwin Post 2534 for an evening of food, drink, and fellowship at the Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall. They are having their Friday night open house this Friday from 6 to 8.
All right.
They'll have a shuttle bus that will run from the Hotel Mead and Conference Center to the Donald J. Knuth. Be sure to check this out. It's going to be a fun time.
Mm-hmm. A chance to sit down and talk with our vets and see the facility and learn about all the wonderful things they do in our community.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun one. And looking forward to Uptown Funk. Uptown's going to bring in their great musical performancing and action to our own town here in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us for Uptown. They're a high-energy, fun, for the whole family, electrifying show. It's going to be coming up February 8th right here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center. Get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. Find out more about them and Uptown and some of the other great acts that we got coming to town here. Big shout-out to our friends Eric and Sally and the gang over there, not only at the Savor the Arts, but Eric working over at the PAC. Appreciate all the great people over there.
And these awesome shows that they bring right into our town.
Yeah, we are spoiled. We are fortunate. Thank you to all of them. And thank you to you, Melissa. Great show today.
Yeah, it was fun, James.
Appreciate you. Appreciate all of you out there. Be good to each other. Take care, and we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5